Well, I'm thankful for that cross, aren't you? Thankful for the Lord's willingness to offer up that sacrifice. It's made all the difference in my life, and I suspect it has yours too. I'm also thankful this morning that the doors of Jefferson are still open. Glad that we can meet here again this morning and appreciate the efforts that have continued to go forth to keep the place open here and for the faithfulness of each one. We're in a race this morning, and you're in this race whether you want to be or not. The race is underway, and you know, I suspect that the finish line is closer, particularly to some of us, than we might think. It's not always according to age. Those decisions are left in the Lord's hands, and my trust this morning is that all of us are closer to the Lord than the last time we met. Because when the Lord calls our name, I want to be ready to meet Him. It's going to mean everything. I have a thought this morning I'd like to share with you. I'd like to start in the 17th chapter of Acts, and we'll start in the 15th verse. Acts 17 and 15, it says, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, What will this babbler say? Others, some, He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And the 29th verse said, For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. The 30th verse says, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Well, that's quite a passage of Scripture, isn't it? I suspect a lot of messages that could be preached out of this passage. Did you notice what happened with Paul when he saw the city? What does it say that happened to Paul when he saw the city? He was stirred. In fact, we have some chalk up here. That's my little message this morning. He was stirred in what? He was stirred in spirit. You know, we live in a time when many people are stirred in spirit, let's say, by many things, aren't they? A lot of people in this world today are driven and stirred in many areas of life. You know, if we would be as stirred with our spiritual condition as we are with the political situation that we face, if we would spend as much time interested in making sure that we made our calling and election sure, as people are in trying to figure out who's going to be elected, we'd be a lot better off. People are stirred, and they go to great lengths to exercise themselves in this process. People are stirred to pursue things in life that are going to vanish away, right? We spend our lives in areas and things that are not going to last. We're stirred in that, in those manners. People go to great lengths. Well, look, people go to great lengths to go to some of the entertainment of this world. They'll stand out in sub-freezing temperatures and snow to root on whichever team they're in favor of, get up early in the morning, travel for hours, stand out in all manner of temperature, hot or cold. But when it comes to the things that last, it's hard to roll out of bed. It's hard to expend a little bit of our means. Hard to give our lives to things that are going to last. And yet, the world all around us is stirred to move forth and accumulate these things in life, be accepted by the world, all kinds of things. But this morning, God wants us to be stirred in our spirit for things that are going to last. I want to be stirred this morning in my spirit to be a disciple of the living God. I want to be stirred by the Spirit that anointed Jesus. Let's turn there in the second or fourth chapter of Luke. Do you remember when Jesus was in the temple? I've thought about this instance many times. I wish that I was there this day. Do you remember when Jesus was in the temple and they handed him the book, and they would stand up, you know, and people would read, and then they'd sit down? Well, that day they didn't all know who they were handing the book to, who they were handing the scroll to. That day it was handed to the Son of God, and he took it, and it said that he opened it to the book of Isaiah the prophet, and he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives." What else did it say? "To preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus read this, and all these people were listening to this, and it said that he closed the book. He didn't read very much. He read the fulfillment of the prophecy. He read that and he closed the book, and he went, and it said he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. And what did it say that happened then? That everybody was distracted and looking at other things. It said that they looked at him. Didn't it say all eyes? And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened onto him. What kind of spirit do you think was in that place that day? When the Lord himself fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that had been given some 700 years before Jesus ever showed up on the scene. And then here he is and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And it's not a prophecy anymore, it's a declaration. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." And he reached out to the poor and to the blind and to the captives and to the bruised, those that needed help. And you know who that includes? Every single one of us in here. And that gospel message was preached to us. Have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt empty? Have you ever felt in captivity? Have you ever felt blind? Have you ever felt like I can't see the future? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't understand this. Have you ever felt down and under? Jesus was sent to set us up in a high place. He came to bring us up out of the pit that we were in and to put us on a sure foundation. And the Spirit of the Lord came and anointed him to preach that gospel to us. And that same Spirit that anointed him was promised to come and stir our spirits and come live within us. Isn't that wonderful? Do you have the Spirit in your life today? Are you stirred in your heart? Paul was stirred. The Lord was stirred by the Spirit. I want to be stirred in the Spirit this morning. I want to be stirred in my spirit in a way that causes me it affects the way that I live my life. I want it to more than just stir me here today. I don't want to be as the man that beheld himself in a glass and saw what manner of man he was and then walked out and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. I don't want to be just have some emotional high in services on Sundays and then go live the same old way. I want to live my life so that I can be stirred by the Spirit all the time so that I can finish this race with victory and hear those words, "Well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Don't you? Is that what stirs? Is that what motivates you today? Paul, he was in this city and he looked around. He was waiting for some folks to come. And he looked around and it said he was stirred in his spirit because of what? Idolatry. What is idolatry? Pardon? Putting something before God. That fits the definition of idolatry. What else? Pardon? What we see today. And what do we see today? We see people worshiping gods outside of the one true God, don't we? Do gods have to be golden calves? They don't. Paul was stirred when he saw all this idolatry. And when I look around in the world today, I'm stirred too. Because we have, I'm going to say, more idolatry today than they did back then. Does it stir us? We worship things. We allow things to come in our lives and hinder our walk with the Lord. It's all around us. Materialism, fashion, the entertainment world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's consuming us in this world today. We are inundated by it. We are overwhelmed by it. It's everywhere. And we worship it. And we let it be a god to us. You know how I know that? Because you look out in the world and people are giving their hearts and their lives to that in place of where the place that God wants to have. We say, oh, well, that isn't sin. Oh, there's nothing in the Bible that says this is wrong. Listen, you have 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's all you have. And we fill our plates so full with what we'll describe as okay things that we push the things of the Lord right off of the plate. And then the devil, the enemy, says, but you're not doing anything wrong. We have so much time. We have so much room. We have so much capacity. We can say, okay, we'll move out all of the things that are covered under the Ten Commandments, except don't put anything in front of the Lord God. There's a lot of things that fit in that category, isn't there? But we can become so busy. We can become so intoxicated. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, the Scripture says, with drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's not just talking about intoxicated with alcohol. We are intoxicated with the things of this life. We are intoxicated with the gods of this world. And it can come in as a snare even to the people of God. To us. Those of us that are here this morning, we say, well, we love God. We want to honor God, and yet as a snare, when we're least expecting it, all of a sudden we get consumed with all of these other things, and it comes between us and the one true God. And I believe that when Paul was here and he looked out and he saw all of these gods, all of this idolatry, he looked at that and he was stirred in spirit because he recognized, I believe, I don't know what all was going through his heart and his mind, but he recognized the end of it. He recognized the consequence of it. He recognized the untruth of it, if I can say it that way. He realized that God's not true. It's not really a God, and yet they're serving it as if it's going to mean something to their lives. And they were gods that did nothing but in the end destroy these people. And Paul looked at that and he was stirred in his spirit because he recognized the consequence of sin. Saints, I want to tell you something this morning. The gods of this world that are all around us, that affect us, that consume our time and our attention, if we're not very careful, there's an end to those things too. They're going to vanish away. Everything in this world is going to vanish away. Only the things that the Lord has invited us to follow are going to last. We follow after things in life, again, that we say are not sin. Okay? To what degree are we following the things of righteousness and holiness and the Lord's work and discipleship? Are you stirred in your spirit to be a disciple? Do you feel as stirred to be a disciple as you are stirred to satisfy me? You know that verse that talked about the man that tore down his barns and built greater barns? Luke 12 and 15, I believe. The verse started and it said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And it really struck me one time when it said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." You know what we covet? Often, we covet satisfying what I want. We covet after those things. We live our lives like that. We spend our time and our lives trying to satisfy me. May God open our eyes and give us understanding onto what the more weighty, important things are of life. This life is just a vapor. It's as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And then eternity beckons. Forever. And yet we live like this is what it's all about. May God help us be stirred in our spirit because we recognize the end of following after the gods of this world, whether we think that they're sin or not sin. We can allow them to become sin really quick. People say, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with that." And yet the scriptures and the spirit and godly people that have gone before us have repeatedly warned us to set up safeguards, have repeatedly warned us to put up barriers of protection to keep us from becoming entangled with the affairs of this life. It didn't say with the gross, dark sin of this life, but with the affairs of this life. That we may please Him who hath called us to be what? A soldier of Jesus Christ. What are you called to today? To just live life and make sure you incorporate God somehow with these things? Our full-time job today is to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. May we be stirred in our spirit to recognize that if we don't do that, there's a consequence to that. You know, parents are stirred in their spirit when they see their little one headed out for the busy highway. You know, that little guy, he's running out for the busy road, and when as a parent sees that, you drop everything you're doing and you go run to get them. Well, they get a little bit older and they start heading for something, and the parents recognize the end and the consequence of that as well. And they're stirred in their spirit and they run out and say, "Stop, no." Well, as kids get a little older, they say, "Well, let us learn by our mistakes. We want to learn by our mistakes. That's how we learn. Just let us make our own decisions. We're going to go our own way. We want to learn by our mistakes." Well, I want to tell you something. There are some mistakes where that's the best way to learn, is to fall on your nose, bloody your nose, get your knees skinned a little bit, and you'll learn for next time. In fact, I'll tell you young people a little secret. Parents allow you to do that a lot more than you think. Sometimes kids think that the parents jump up every time they disagree with something you're doing. Not so, at least not in my family. Sometimes I think that's what you want to do. Be a good time to learn that that's the wrong thing to do. And just sit back and let them do it. But you know what? There are some other things that are not reversible. There are some other things that you can't recover from. A little child can't recover from running out in the middle of the road and getting hit. They don't recognize the danger. They say, well, I don't see what's wrong with it. We hear that today, don't we? Well, I don't see what's wrong with this. I don't see what's so wrong with living this way. I don't see where the scripture and verse says that I can't, thou shalt not do this. And yet, when they start to do that, you see spiritual people rise up, stirring their spirit and say, whoa! And we say, just this is my life. May God open our eyes this morning to have a spiritual vision to recognize the things in this world and the gods of this world and the consequences of sin to the point that we back off and that we're stirred in spirit to make sure that the decisions that we're making is going to help us get to heaven. I want to be stirred to the point where I'm striving to make it in. That's what God wants us to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel stirred in your spirit to the point where you're striving to make it in? Did you know that the scripture says, work out your own salvation? Oh, I could stop right there. You know that people like the first part of that verse? Work out your own salvation. People say, well, I don't need to be told how to work out my salvation. Scripture says, work out your own salvation. But what does it say after that? It tells us how to work out our salvation. With fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, recognizing that if you don't get it right, there's an irreversible consequence that's going to result from it. So work out your salvation. You need to work it out for yourself because you need to have godly convictions. You yourself need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't live off somebody else's life that has the Spirit of God in them. You have to work out your salvation so that you get your temple in a place where you realize you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in body and in spirit, the scripture says, in both. And we have to get to the place where we recognize with fear and trembling that I have to work my salvation out so that the Lord would be pleased to dwell in me. And yet too often, well, I work out my own salvation. And we forget the fear and the trembling part. There's a reason why Paul said, take the more earnest heed to the things that you have thought up in your own mind, lest at any time, I got that scripture wrong. Take the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was true, and it is, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and it will. How are we going to escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have a lot of people who understand the plan of salvation, but they neglect it. Have a lot of people who have heard the gospel message, but we don't take the more earnest heed. I preach this at different times where the scripture didn't say, pay attention to the things that you have heard. Didn't say that. It didn't say take heed to the things that you have heard. It didn't say take earnest heed to the things that you have heard. It said take the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. This gets close, y'all. This isn't a one-time-a-week experience. This is one of the reasons why it's so important that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, If you don't get to the place in your life where you're willing to lay down what you want in life, and you're willing, and you don't get to the place where you're willing to live your life in a way that the Spirit can come in and live within you, no matter what you want, you are going to naturally be pulled to the other forces that are in the world around us that are stronger than you are. We must have the Spirit of the Lord in us so that we can constantly be stirred in the Spirit. We are so apt to become complacent. We're so apt to become asleep in Zion. Amos said, "Woe unto them that are asleep in Zion." And we say, "Well, I love the Lord. I want to be saved. I'm saved." But then we become content with where we are. The Scripture said, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me," but He can't perfect us if we're lukewarm. The Lord can't perfect you if you are not stirred in your spirit and recognize on a daily basis, God wants to perfect that which concerns me. I can't do it if I'm lukewarm. The angel told him at Laodicea, he said, "You're lukewarm, and because you're not hot and you're not cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with good." And he's talking to the church, you all. He was not talking to the world. He said, "Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know ye not that you are what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." He said, "I counsel thee, that you buy some gold tried in the fire that you may be rich." Counsel you, you need to buy some gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. And that you put on white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And then at the last of that verse, what did he say? He said, "And that you anoint your eyes with eye salve that ye may see." I want to be able to see. I want to be able to have a spiritual vision. I want to be able to be stirred in my spirit when danger's around. And saints, danger's all around us. The gods of this world are all around us. Idolatry, as Paul saw it, was all around us. It is all around us now. I cannot be lukewarm. I have to be willing to push forward, to lean forward, to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, to be stirred in spirit and not be lukewarm, and have the Spirit in my heart and in my life so that I might see appropriately. But you know why we don't like to do this a lot of times? It's because we don't like to change. We don't like to change. You know what three things are required to change? The first thing that has to happen before we make a change is we have to have some level of discontent with our present state. Before you change, you have to be discontent with your present state. The second thing that has to happen is you have to have a vision of a better state. Now, there's a lot of unhappy people, but they have no vision of a better state, so they stay discontent. The third thing that has to happen is once you have a vision of a better state, you have to have the ability or capability to achieve that better state. There's a lot of people that they're not happy with their better state. They have a vision of a better state, but there's no way to get there. And so they remain where they are and they don't change. Spiritually speaking, a lot of times, we may not be happy with our present state. But until we have a vision of a better state, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a hard time getting there. But I'm going to tell you where one of the real troubles lie. We sit under the sound of the gospel a lot of times, and we can feel the Spirit talk to our heart, and we can recognize we have a discontent with our present state. And we're showed a vision of a better state, but then we don't have the power to achieve that better state. And I want to tell you one of the reasons why. Because we do the same thing that these people were doing that Paul saw on Mars Hill. We have all of these gods and all of these competing priorities, and amongst them is the one true God.
That's what these folks had. Now, they were worshiping him ignorantly, Paul said. You don't know what, you got the real God right here, you just don't know it. A lot of times we do, we have recognized that as the one true God. But we allow all of these other devotions. Isn't that what Paul called it? Devotions? What's the root word of devotion? Devote. We have all these things that we devote our time to. Well, we got the one true God in there. And so we have a false sense of security because we worship God. Well, we've heard the gospel. We go to church. We're trying to live right. And then we wonder why we don't have the power in our lives to achieve this better state that the Scripture talks about. We have a level of discontent with the way our lives are. We have a vision of something better. And then we try to achieve it, and then we're disappointed because we don't have the power in our lives to have the grace that we need to live a more Christian-like life. And then we get frustrated, and we say, well, I guess it's not there. I guess it doesn't apply to me. I guess I can't live that way. I guess it's for everybody else, and we get discouraged. And we go right back, and then no change is made. But one of the reasons why we don't have the power that we need is because we have competing priorities. We're not really serious about being a soldier for the Lord full time. We allow all these other devotions in our lives. That's what nominal Christianity has all over in the world today. You can find a church that prays to God, that talks to the Lord, but they allow all of these other gods. They're all lined up. They want to have... They want to have their entertainment. They want to have the fashion of the world. They want to have all the material things. They want to be recognized. They want to be accepted by the world. And I can just see the gods all lined up. And then you finally get to the one true God. He's there. And they say, well, this is who we're worshiping today. We always worship him. And yet the one true God's looking around saying, yeah, but what about all these other gods you've allowed in your life? I can't bless you when you allow all of these other gods to have priority in your life. And then you give me a little bit of time. And then you wonder why you don't have the power in your life to live like you should. Jesus has come with a perfect gospel salvation message that is adequate to lift every single one of us that are here this morning up out of the trouble that we're in and perfect that which concerns us. Be stirred in your spirit today to give yourself to that. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. What does apprehended mean? Apprehended means overtaken. Apprehended means I count not myself to have already achieved it. I count not myself to have already won. But this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forth to those things which are before. That's what God wants us to do this morning. Don't look behind you and say, well, I've done this, this, and this, so I'm okay. On the other hand, don't be discouraged by past sins that you've asked the Lord to forgive you for and you've put behind you. God wants us to be stirred in spirit to press for the high calling of God. Paul in one place told the Galatian church, he said, what happened? Who did hinder you? Who turned you around in this race? Be warm. Be hot in spirit. Don't be warm. Don't be lukewarm. Be stirred to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Live your life so that we, like Paul, he got to the end of his life. He was stirred in spirit that day, and all the way through his life, he pushed and he pressed and he did everything he could do. And he got to the end and he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. That's me. That's you. It's the people that Jesus came, that the Spirit of the Lord anointed to preach the gospel to. But we have to be willing to be stirred in spirit. I'm going to say it this way. Be stirred in spirit when you find that you haven't been stirred. How about that? Some people say, well, I'm not stirred. What do I do about it? I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I don't feel stirred. Let that stir you. If you're not stirred and you listen to the gospel message, you read the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to your heart, and you feel unmoved, let that stir you. If nothing else, let that stir you. Begin to give room for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If you don't feel moved, if you don't feel stirred, but you know you have a head knowledge, there's an end to this, and it's not a good consequence, but I just don't feel stirred. Develop and nurture an appetite for the things of the Lord. Begin to ask the Lord to talk to your heart. Begin to read the scripture. Pray to the Lord. Begin to get rid of the competing priorities that you know are getting in the way of you and the Lord. Be willing to start setting some things aside. And you know what will happen? You'll start feeling stirred. And the Spirit will be faithful to us to begin to point the way and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you'll be able to go through this life and look around and not be accepting and not be tolerant, if you will, of the sin that's around us. That sin can remain exceedingly sinful. It's going to mean something. Y'all, it's going to mean something. If we get to the end of the way and sin is not exceedingly sinful, and we're just one of the world, and then we've just been trying to point to the one true God over here, but we've allowed all these other gods to consume our time and our life, we're not going to meet the Lord in peace. There's a parable of the five virgins. And the parable of the five foolish virgins doesn't even say that they had a lot of other gods in their lives either. But they neglected, somewhere along the line, they neglected to take the more earnest heed to the things which they heard. And so they got to the end of the way and they ran out of oil. Do you have oil? Do you have a good supply of oil this morning? Are you stirred in your spirit? If you're not, be stirred. If you are stirred in your spirit, continue to be stirred and take action. Look, we serve a God this morning that wants us to make it to heaven. He's on our side. He paid the price. He's going to do everything He can to help us make it to the end of the way with victory. It's up to us. And the good news is that every single one of us can make it. We just have to make the choice. Lord, I am going to be a disciple. I am going to begin to rid myself of the competing priorities. Lord, I am not going to allow the things of this world to start capturing my time and my affections to the point that I begin neglecting my spiritual life and the spiritual life of others. Let's be encouraged this morning. We can make it. I want to have that testimony of Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Let's pray for each other. Amen.